Welcome to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Welcome to a spectacular weekend, Mr. Rushforth, Mr. Napolitano. It's a long weekend.
It is?
Oh, it is?
Well, we get an hour.
Oh, yeah. Frank and I are looking at each other like, what are you talking about?
What are we missing here?
Steve has lost it.
Oh, God. Man, nice blue sky, though, for the weekend. First time in a while.
It's gorgeous. Beautiful. Just gorgeous. Yep. They say it's 4, but it feels a lot more like, 11 to 15 degrees. It's just no wind. Just beautiful. Yeah, you guys wouldn't know because you haven't left the house yet.
No. I've left the house, but it must be nice to be down in the market. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to get back into the studio
soon, very soon.
Yeah, good.
As long as you've got some spending.
Great.
As long as you got some spending. What?
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Great.
Here we go.
I'm gonna start buying breakfast. Here we go. Great.
Here we go.
I've saved long enough. I guess.
Yeah. Well, luckily, you guys have been homeowners for a while. You could afford breakfast. It's a little more difficult for people buying a house today.
Yeah, it really is. It is. The prices are, we got our numbers for October and they weren't anything, what I wasn't expecting. Our biggest problem right now is we have an inventory crisis, like a big time inventory crisis. Our number of listings are down to 1619 on the market.
Wow.
So we're starving for inventory. And the problem is our move up buyers, our move down buyers, our first time home buyers, they can't do anything because there's no movement in the market right now, which is painfully awful. But the numbers came out for October, and just getting them here. The average or the number of sales was down 21%, which doesn't surprise me. I knew it was going to be down. I didn't know it was going to be maybe down that much.
Yeah, we had a late surge last year, right, Paul?
We did, yeah. And the average sale price was up 16.3%. But when you think about it, for year to date, the number of sales are up 10%. And the average sale price was up 22.6. At one point, we were in the 30s for the average sale price. The average sale price at the end of October, year to date, was 647. So this is the fifth month in a row that we've actually gone down a little bit. We from the peak of June of 658. So we've gone down $11,000 since our peak in June, which is not bad at all. But our big problem right now is just an inventory problem.
That's condos and residential, right, Paul?
That's condos and residential. I don't know if you saw. I don't know if you guys followed James Bagnell from the Ottawa Citizen. He's brilliant when it comes to the market. When it comes to like going over stats on the market, and he interviews me quite a bit, and his questions are amazing. But he put out something this week that showed all the areas in the city and how much they've gone up. And interestingly enough, the core of Ottawa has gone up 19%. Overall prices for residential, whereas the valley towns have gone up 24%. So we're still seeing that push towards the outskirts of Ottawa. But you've got areas like Riverside's Billingsbridge, Riverside up 80%, Dunrobin area up 70%. And then you go out to the country a little bit more, you got Kempville South up 81%, Elmont 47.8%. So interestingly enough, most of these areas, the number of sales are down, the average sale price is through the roof.
But you're not talking about 80% sale price. You're talking about number of sales, right?
No, I'm talking about the average sale price.
80%?
80%, Steve.
Wow.
Yes, 80%. Whereas every area, well, not every area, but let's say 90% of the areas, the number of sales is down, but the average sale price is skyrocketing in tons of areas. I mean, you're very few. The only area I see right now with a drop, Pakenham went down, actually, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
But those numbers are skewed a little bit, right, Paul, by, a couple of big houses sell, then all of a sudden those numbers could be skewed a little bit. I don't think you're telling every homeowner in those neighborhoods that your house has gone up 80%, because not every home has gone up 80%.
No. It definitely has. But on average, 80% in some of these areas is absolutely crazy. But when you look at the city for residential, 19%, whereas the valleys are sort of up 17%, where the valley's up 24%. So the valley towns are still popular. When I say valley towns, I'm not just saying, like the west end of the valley. I'm talking east as well. Like you're looking at the Embrun and the Alfreds, Rockland, Loge, and all those areas too. But it's Yeah, I think unless we get some inventory on the market, we're going to continue to see some pressure on high prices, and we need inventory. We desperately need inventory.
Is that because of affordability in the city, or is more lifestyle people moving out?
Bit of both. I think it's a combination of the pandemic, which pushed people to the outskirts, because they don't have to, they don't have to commute to work anymore. So they like the outskirts a little bit more. But I think it's also prices. You can't afford the core. I mean, keep in mind the average sale price in for residential in October was $717,000. In the core was $773,000, whereas the valley was $548,000. So it's still more affordable in these valley towns. So it's kind of like a perfect storm. Because it's so expensive in the core, it's pushing people out, but people are okay going out because of the pandemic and they don't have to commute to work. So it's a perfect storm.
But it's also pushing the prices up once people get out there now.
It is. It totally is. I mean, there's the average sale price in some of these areas, which were used to be like next to nothing, is really, I mean, Limoges, $560,000 average sale price. Like, when did that happen? You know, it's just crazy.
And what would it have been here about 2 years ago?
320?
Seriously.
Yeah, 330, something like that. But yeah, no, that's how much the prices have gone up. I think the only area that's gone down is Stittsville, and it's maybe because of Frank.
Yeah, probably because of Frank. No wonder he's renovating.
Stittsville's way up.
I was only joking. Stittsville's up 14.7%.
Yeah, but would have been up more, right, Paul?
What I'm saying, it would have been up 70-80%. Right. So Frank moved up, but they're in good shape.
Are you finding that with your clients too, Frank? They just can't afford to be in the core anymore, and they're moving out?
Well, it's either that. Strangely enough, I've had a couple of clients this week that are thinking about buying on the Quebec side now because they just cannot afford the Ontario side, and they're getting a little bit more home and a better value on the Quebec side, and they're willing to bite the bullet for, two, three, four, 5 years just to get into the market, build a little bit of equity, and then be able to move back into Ottawa. But, of course, it comes with other challenges because then you have to, all of a sudden you're changing your province of residency, so your healthcare changes, a number of factors change. And, as much as commuting has gone down quite a bit, I mean, I'm starting to see that the traffic is picking back up again. So I think there's people going back to the offices. And the job numbers would say otherwise, but people are going back to the offices. I think people just want to get into home ownership. If I'm talking about the first time home buyers, they'll buy a condo, they'll buy in Quebec, anything just to get in right now. And then, hopefully works out that they build up some equity and they're able to move back into where they want to in the next few years.
Doesn't history show you don't make the equity in Quebec that you do in Ontario, though?
That's what I was about to say. You definitely don't. I mean, my sister bought over there years ago before she moved back to Australia, and she paid something like, I don't know, let's say she paid about $250,000 or something for this townhouse. When she sold it for $247,000. Yeah. Like it was a brand new townhouse. So it's great to buy on the Quebec side, but if you want to see equity appreciation, you're not getting it on the Quebec side. I can tell you that right now.
But you got to get in where you can sometimes, right? So if you're looking to get in and you cannot get in on this side, you'll get in on that side. And listen, that side probably got some upside. The Quebec side, if the values of the homes are significantly lower than they are in Ontario, maybe there is some upside there where we'll start to see those prices go up a little bit and they'll build some equity in them.
Yeah, that would be more lifestyle too, right? You want a single family home. You can't afford one here. The only place you can go is Quebec, right?
Yeah, it could be. Or even a home, period, right? Any home, whether it's a little condo or whether it's a home. You just want to get into home ownership, which a lot of people crave to do. So,
yeah, what? If it's me, and this is just my own opinion, I would bite the bullet and hang on and wait to be able to buy in Ontario. I just think the equity would be there.
Yeah, how long do you wait, though?
Right? Yeah, how long do you wait?
If you're my age, not long.
Yeah. But, Steve, if you would have said to me 2 years ago, I'm going to wait till the market tumbles a little bit. I mean, I told the story. Did I tell the story last week or not? We were working with a lady who was looking to buy a townhome in Ottawa. And in 2016, she's like, oh, I'm going to wait for the market to crash. Then 2017, I'm going to wait for the market to crash. She just bought, so she paid about $250,000 more for the same product she would have bought in 2016.
Well, not only did she pay the $250 more, she lost all the equity she would have appreciated in those 2 years, right?
Yeah, just what I was about to say. Yeah, she lost all that equity.
That's 400 grand you're leaving on the table.
Now, saying that, like, what, are we going to have this conversation in 2 years when everyone's like, oh, it's too high right now. It's going to, the bubble's going to burst. I'm going to wait till the bubble bursts. I don't see a bubble bursting. Like, I don't see a crazy market coming forward. But like, I think 2022 is going to be a very average, potentially difficult year. But I don't see any bursting. I don't see any drops. We might just have a very flat, stagnant market, which we've been used to in Ottawa for a number of years.
You guys ever see listings coming back?
Well, I think as long as they keep builders tied up as much as they are, I mean, the red tape for builders is ridiculous. I think if the city, listen, when we were going through the pandemic, they let everyone put patios wherever they wanted to do. I think they have to open up a little bit more for the builders because we need the builders to build. That's the biggest thing. We need product. We need inventory. And right now, if I'm a builder, I'm frustrated. I got to go through so much crap and so much red tape just to get my shovel in the ground. It's too hard. They need to fix that.
Where are we at for listings compared to pre-pandemic for November?
Well, I could. I don't have that number.
Is this about usual 1,600 to 1,800 listings in November on a regular year? Or is that low?
Well, last year at the end of November, the end of October, we were at 1,922. This year we are at 1,776. So we're it's not drastically down. We're a little bit down. But I think if I went back to 2019, 18, 17, and 16, you'd see that number swell. Yeah. So we're definitely, every year after year, we've been going down and down and down on number of listings. We need product. Desperately need product.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We go to Ottawa and say hello to Randy. Hello, Randy.
Hey, gentlemen. Enjoy the show, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just, I'm glad you guys brought up about the Quebec side and didn't know if there was so much of an option. But like Frank said, it's a big, you got to change for your health care. You got to change a lot and about the equity. About a month ago, my daughter was looking. She just turned 25. And as a father, I said, geez, where are we going to go? And so I told her to call Frank, and they set up a meeting. And right from the get-go, the whole thing that we went through to the end was unbelievable, the way he treated my daughter. No questions were stupid. She'd ask questions. She was more educated after that. Made me feel really good that even his – his group there, Chantal, worked with Cassandra all the way to the end. And then towards the end, we always left it up to her. We tried to guide her, and she wants to get in. It just wasn't the right time. But we know, like, she was in great hands going there. And Frank, we want to really appreciate the effort you put in with her and to guide her. At that age, it is a big process. And your listeners out there know that if, you know, they're – like yourself, you do care. I really appreciated that.
No, thanks, Randy. You know what? It means a lot. I mean, 25 years old, it's a huge step. I mean, here's a 25-year-old who's got a good job. She's doing really well. But her hands got tied in the last 2 years by the fact that the property values have gone up so much and made it so much more difficult for her to get into the market. And, you know, the condo didn't work out. I mean, there was some issues with the with the status certificate, but at the end of the day, I think Cassandra, just keeps plugging along and she'll find something hopefully that will really make her happy and understand that she'll build some equity in that property as time goes. I know it's rough at the beginning, but as you get into it and you start to feel comfortable with it, she'll make the right decision.
It's just overwhelming when you guys talk today and the options out there. You're looking limited, and I know, you talk about the bubble not bursting and everything else. I know it's a waiting game and everything, but, in due time, like you said, you don't want to have something that you're not happy with, and even after doing all the work, that's exactly what you kept telling her, don't worry, you guys are there for her to be happy, so just really appreciate it again, and I enjoy the show, guys.
Refreshing, eh, Randy? Isn't it refreshing?
It is refreshing, especially nowadays, and people, you go, you hear stories or, it wasn't like, when you want to send a text, send an email and you're new at it and she goes, Dad, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to, they did not one time ever make it feel like you're putting them out. Like even to set up like real estate agents, like Tammy Laverty was, Frank recommended her. She was great from day one to that till the end. She kept saying, you know what, and the time that they put in, like, you know, like, Paul knows the effort that you guys put in as real estate agents and everything. And then down at the end, you go through all hoops and everything. If it doesn't work out, sometimes the buyer feels that they let them down. And even though it's their, you know, it's their future, their stuff, some of them don't want them to go through all the work and then say, oh, geez, at the end, I'm not comfortable. But you leave there with the experience of, geez, they want us back. They want us to be happy. And no wonder your businesses are successful. Simple as that.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, usually Frank, when in a situation like this, will kick in about $100,000 of his own money. I'm surprised he didn't do that.
we just go back to the comment of Frank recommended Tammy Lafferty. Can we go back to that comment?
Tammy was a good fit, actually, right, yeah. Randy? Tammy was a good fit for Cassandra. So.
Yeah, she was. She was. That's why I said you set us up. Everything was. She worked. You know, like anybody else. And I mean, the work that you guys put in, it's just after when everything, for sure, we're still looking down the road. If something happens, she should be our go-to for sure.
Anything to add, Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy, is your last name isn't Napolitano, is it?
You know what? Randy's big into football, and the yeah. fit there was obviously Tammy's yeah. dad, who's yeah. in the Ottawa Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
There was a nice fit there for Randy and the football and all the football yeah. memories. And Randy's a huge Red Blacks fan as well. Yeah. So
great. Thanks for the call, Randy. That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That's nice to hear, eh, Frank? Not surprising.
Yeah, you know what? There's some good agents, and Paul knows. I mean, I refer a lot of clients to Paul's team as well. But once in a while, you need to find the fit. And the fit there was that Randy knew Tammy's dad really, really well. So, you know, I try to get Paul a lot of business, and I think Paul does the same thing, but Paul works with other mortgage brokers as well. And you know, there's no,
I didn't know you were such a good dancer, Frank.
right.
That was funny.
You know what?
It's always nice when a relative calls into the show though. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Hey Paul, what were you talking about in the break of what they're thinking of doing in Vancouver?
Yeah, so in Vancouver, they're looking to put in a cooling off period where if you buy a home, once it goes firm, you have 7 days to decide if you want to back out or not, which is absolutely shocking. You know, because what happens here is even if you buy a home here and it's conditional on home inspection and financing, it's off the market pretty much as a conditionally sold home for a period of time. And if it's off, let's say 4, 5, 6, 7 days, and someone can't get their financing or fails on the home inspection, that hurts the listing being off the market that many days. So if I buy a house and I have 7 days to think about it and it's off the market for 7 days, and then I'm like, yeah, you know what, on day seven, I don't think I want that house. That's going to hurt that listing big time. The momentum will totally be gone out of that listing. So
Would make every offer conditional.
Pretty much. Like any offer that went firm, it's pretty much conditional on a cooling off period. So it's... I don't like it. I just think that there's going to be, it's going to hurt a lot of listings. Cause I mean, there's people who will, you know, what's going to happen is they'll buy a house, it'll go firm, and then they'll have 7 days to continue to look for a different house just in case they find something better, you know, and then they can back out of this one to go to this one. Oh, cooling off period. Let's go look for more homes. See if there's a nicer home. So I just think it's a mistake. I hope they don't.
I think there's a simple solution to this. It really is. I mean, I think it should be a 7 day clause period, which incorporates financing, home inspection, and cooling off all at once, so that you've got the 7 days, you do what you got to do. You got to do your home inspection, get your financing in place, and have the cooling off period all at once, so that you are, you know, at that point, once you commit, you commit. But I agree with Paul. I mean, that's crazy that you're going to take 5 or 7 days to get your financing and home inspection. And listen, you're going to go through the expense of a home inspection, and then you need another week to decide whether you want to buy it or not. I think that's crazy for, you know, it's not fair for sellers at that point.
No.
Because like Paul said, taking the house off the market for 14 days and now you've got other people that were interested in the house that may not be available anymore because they found another house.
Well, and if the house goes into if the house goes into a multiple offer situation, then you've lost all those other buyers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Vancouver's unique though, right? Vancouver's a unique center where there's you know, basically what's happened there, I think it's, you know, it's well known that there's many, many, many homes that are sitting there empty because they've been purchased by foreign investors who just leave them vacant. They just wanted to put their money into real estate and that's it. And, you know, from that perspective, because of that, there's so limited supply there that what we experienced this year is what they experience on an ongoing basis. Therefore, you know, I think, for them, I mean, you got people buying houses without home inspections, and I think that's wrong. So, but I think the cooling off period makes sense there. I don't think we need it here. I think what we need here is the cooling off period could be part of the home inspection financing clause.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
What are both your opinions, your general opinions on government intervening to cool off markets?
Terrible. Well, I told you a long time ago, markets organically correct themselves. You don't have to, you know, artificially correct a market. You know, obviously they tried to do that with the stress test. You know, they crippled the Toronto market for a short time when they brought in the double land transfer tax and the foreign buyers tax. They hurt the Toronto market, which has rebounded. I saw this week the average sale price right now in Toronto is 1.136, which is really high. You know, it's double of what we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't like it. I think markets, they organically correct themselves. Look, we were going through such a crazy market in 2021, and the government was talking about slowing it down. And my reasoning was, it will slow down. Don't worry. It's organically going to slow down. And it did. It did. Right. So.
At the end of the day, the government's job should be to make sure that there's enough supply out there. That's where they're failing. Get rid of the red tape, like Paul says, with the builders. Open it up so that there's more lands available for builders to build at, because that's what they should be taking care of. Everything else, the market should be controlled by purchasers and buyers, not by the government.
Yeah, you know what they should be controlling? Penalties and posted rates.
Yes, focus on those things. Agreed.
Yeah. What? 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank DiPolitano. Frank, did you want to educate us on the employment numbers?
Oh, great. Just great.
Well, what did you ask him about gas too, Steve?
Yeah. You know, generally, when a city loses 11,000 jobs in a month,
yes,
the unemployment number goes up. I mean, that would just make sense, wouldn't it?
It would.
Not in Ottawa. For some reason, we lost 11,000 people are not working that were working the month before, but somehow our unemployment went from 5.5 to 5.1. I don't know who does the math there, but it just doesn't seem to make sense in my world.
Wow, somebody must have hired a lot of people.
Well, the other
thing, clearly not.
The other thing too, guys, with CERB ending, I think people are going to have to get back to work now. So I think we're going to see the job numbers be much different going forward. I mean, there's going to be loads of people looking for work right now.
I will say that speaking to a couple of friends that are in the service industry, the restaurant industry, they've had more success in the last 2 weeks hiring people back. So they're almost getting back to full staff. And went to a restaurant last night and it's like all the plexiglass was gone and it almost felt normal again. Now, I still think it's silly that, you know, you have 200 people sitting in a room eating and talking without a mask on. And then when you got to go to the bathroom, you got to put a mask on. I'm not quite sure why that little jaunt from your table to the bathroom is going to do anything. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's nice to see the restaurants doing well again.
Yeah, I took my girlfriend out to eat a couple weeks ago and it was a Saturday.
Did she pay?
Yes, Frank, I make her pay for my dinner.
Yeah, no surprise.
Breakfast, right? Yeah. No, but we went into a restaurant in Kanata and it was a large restaurant and we walked in, there was no one waiting. And I said, oh, can we get a table for two, please? And they said, well, it'll be about 25 minutes. I'm like, I look around, there's empty tables everywhere. And I'm like, 25 minutes? I said, do you have empty tables everywhere? And they said, we have such a shortage of staff and it's everywhere right now. It's tough. I mean, but I think with CERB ending and you know, people getting Now, listen, the people that need CERB, I feel horrible that it's ending. But there's a lot of people that are milking the system on CERB that is really going to drain on the economy. And it's got to stop. And obviously, it is stopping. So I think restaurants will get back to normal now. Life will get back to a little bit more normal.
So what did you do with the time and money you saved from not going to that restaurant?
No, you waited? Did you wait or no? Did you not wait?
No, we waited. We waited because we called in the area. We called Moxie's. They had an hour and a half wait. We called Milestones. They had an hour and a half wait. And it was for the same reasons.
Yeah.
They have no staff. They have no staff. So restaurants, even though restaurants could be at 100% capacity right now, they're not. Yeah. They're not. They can't because they can't staff it. So,
well, a year ago, we didn't even have a vaccine. So we're making some progress.
Absolutely, we are. Absolutely. It's great. I can tell you one thing, though, Stevie, the one I want to talk about this before I forget. You guys know my brain. Rental market. The rental market right now is absolutely insane. There is more. I always track the Orleans, Barhaven, Kanata areas for active listings and rentals. There is now more rentals on the market in those three areas than there are homes for sale. There's 809 rentals right now on the market, which is half the amount of listings we have in the area, which I have never seen before.
Is this investors hanging on to property now?
It could be. It could be investors who bought during the height or maybe they're looking to flip and now they realize, geez, the market's softening a little bit. I'll keep it and rent it out. But there's 809 rentals being offered right now. And I looked at the new listings, the sold properties and the average sale price by week, which I do every year. The new listings by week is on a sharp decline. Sold properties by week also declined quite a bit last week. And the average sale price was up again, led by the condos. So we're seeing so few inventory that it's putting a sharp drain on the average sale price. So the market's weird. And I had a guy the other day said, my house is closing in. I can't remember what it was. I think he said March. He said, when do you think I should sell? What is 2022 going to look like? I'm like, any other year I've been in real estate, I could have told you what 2022 was going to look like, what the Jan, Feb, March was going to look like. I don't know. It's hard to know. Are we going to drop a little bit? Are we going to increase? Or is it going to be a sharp increase? We're starting to open up much more now. Is it going to get even better? Are we going to have a rough winter? It's really hard to know what's going to happen next year.
Well, I think usually December is pretty predictable, right? It's a slow month.
It's a slow month. But
what happens January, February, March this year? Nobody knows. Well,
here's a concern that I have right now. I don't know if you guys saw the thing. I'm not sure. A lot of Canadians don't know what Zillow is, but Zillow is a platform. It's almost like they have an iBuyer part of their platform where they buy and flip homes. They are no longer doing that, and they're selling all their properties that they have. I think I can't remember how many there was, but all their properties they're selling. And everyone, all the realtors in the States are rejoicing. This is awesome because this is our competition, blah, blah, blah. What they need to realize is if a big conglomerate like Zillow is doing this, what are they trying to say is going to happen in the market? And now I know this is the States, but we'll follow very quickly. Yeah. Some think that we are in for a little bit of a correction. The States is a lot more volatile, and if they correct, they'll correct large. Us here in Ottawa, if we correct, we'll correct a tiny little percent. But there's people need to look at what Zillow's doing and think, what's going to go on in our market in 2022? Are we going to have a bit of a tougher market? So rather than rejoice, think about what this is saying with someone who's so powerful as Zillow is doing this.
It sure is tough to forecast these days, isn't it?
It's really tough. I mean, it's virtually impossible, to be honest with you. I mean, in 2020, would we predict that this was going to happen at the end of 2020 and 2021, going through a pandemic with people losing jobs, people sick and dying? Like,
no way.
No one saw this happening. But I've said it before. A lot of people made money and saved money during this pandemic because they weren't going on vacations. They weren't going out as much. Restaurants were closed. And the people that were losing their jobs, a large majority of them were the service industry. And a lot of service industry are renters. They're renters. So the homeownership did not take a hit because of that. And, so the pandemic for real estate was very good because the market went crazy.
Frank, are you noticing bigger down payments with people having been able to save more through the pandemic?
Well, we're seeing more decent down payments. We're also seeing a lot of family members having to help out just to get them into homes. So certainly the bank of mom and dad, if it's available, is there. Whether, you know, they're helping. In some cases, they're helping out just with the down payment. Some cases, they're having to help out as guarantor. And in some cases, they're actually having to go on as co-signing. So, you know, I've got a couple that split up and you know, she's going to buy him out of the house, but she can't afford to keep the house on her own. So mom and dad are actually going to take over the entire house and still have their daughter along with, I think she's got two kids, live in that house. But the house is going to be transferred to the mom and dad's name so that they can pay off the ex and she can keep the house.
I think it's a pretty safe bet to figure that this is the way it's going to be from here on in, right? If you've got parents with money that can help you out, kids are going to get helped out. Well,
early inheritance, you know, living inheritance, whatever we want to call it, at the end of the day, there's, you know, we're heading into a period where there's a lot of wealth that's going to be transferred. And, you know, some parents are out there looking at it saying, well, they're going to get it anyway at some point. Why not help them out now and give them some of the money ahead of time and give them that head start into owning a home at least. So I think we're going to see quite a bit of that, and we've been seeing, and it's getting more and more. But even with the $100,000, $150,000 down payment for those that can do it, if you're a single person trying to buy a home, it's extremely difficult unless you've got a really, really well-paying job. Again, rule of thumb, if you have no other debt and really good credit is five times your income. So, you know, if you're making $70,000 or $80,000, that's $400,000 mortgage you can get. So, you know, if your parents are giving you $100,000, that's at $500,000. I don't know. There's not a lot out there at $500,000 to start off with. So that's always going to be the challenge, I think, moving forward.
If you're we are still very lucky where our average sale price is, though. I was on a Zoom training call with a bunch of Americans this week, and we're going around talking about what our average sale price was. And on the call, where there was a one guy from New York City. There's another one from a gorgeous place in California. And we're chatting, and they're like, yeah, our average sale price is like 2.1. And our average sale price is like 1.8. And I'm just like, how do people afford? Like, you're not getting paid that much more than what we'd be getting paid here in Canada. How does someone afford an entry-level $2.1 million home? I just don't get it.
Well, they get to write out the interest, right?
Yeah, so what? They still need the money to buy it.
Is it easier to buy a house in the States, Frank?
No, one of my staff members is doing that right now, and it's like crickets. It's totally different there. Financing clauses generally are about 30 days by nature. So it takes about 30 days for financing to get approved. And you send them paperwork. And, you know, we've seen that a little bit this year only because the amount of volume, some of the lenders are much slower than they've ever been. And there's files that have taken months to close where it used to be weeks, but you know, there it's common that you send documents and maybe they get back to you 10 or 14 days later and let you know if everything's okay. And then they ask you for something else and you send it to them within a day. And then you're still waiting another 10 or 14 days before they get back to you. It's just done at a different pace. And of course, there they don't use lawyers. They use title transfer to close properties as well. So totally different process there. But
is it easier to qualify though?
They are stricter now. They're not as easy as they were obviously when the housing crisis, they learned from that and they made it a little tougher. It's still not bad. It's tougher if you're Canadian, obviously, but if you're American, it's no different than here. They use the same principles more or less.
No stress test.
If you're buying with less, no, it's not a stress test there, but there you're getting 30-year interest rates. So, you know, you're getting a 30-year mortgage and not amortized, but the actual term is 30 years. In the 4% range. So a little bit higher than here, the rates there, but you're getting that rate for 30 years.
They have even their conditional periods a lot different. I talked to one of my ex coaches down in California, and they have like a 21-day conditional period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, 21 days? You take the house off the market for 21 days? Holy jeez.
Wow. It's common though, but that's common. In Europe, it's 45 days in Europe. It's very common.
Wow.
That way. We are spoiled here. We're different here. But even in Quebec, you know, if you buy a property on the Quebec side, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about the Quebec side is that once you sign off, you are firm. Not only are you firm on the purchase, but, you know, the vendor gets a copy of the letter from the bank that your mortgage has been approved and there's no conditions outstanding. So much different concept. There are times when I wish we had the Quebec rules here. You know, I know Paul wouldn't like it for 14 days, but you know that when they waive it that 14-day, it is firm. There's no other glitches with the financing, nor other glitches anywhere. You are committed to that purchase at that point.
So there's no assessment of the property after the fact, any of that?
No, that happens in that 14-day period. Otherwise, they can't waive. Like, when they waive, they've waived everything, but they've also got security in place that the financing's approved, and the bank has given the client a letter actually saying that they are going to fund that mortgage, no questions asked. So if they lose the job, it doesn't matter. Like, that's the crazy part, is that, you know, if they buy that house today and the closing date is February 1st, between now and February 1st, they lose their job, the bank is still committed to them because they've given them an actual document that says that you are getting this mortgage. That's the way they work it there.
Wow. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Hey, we covered a lot of topics so far, but we didn't touch on rates yet, Frank.
Boy, bond markets this week, quite volatile. We saw the beginning part of the week where bond markets went all the way up. So keep in mind, just a short 6 weeks ago, the bond market for about six straight months stayed anywhere between 0.8 to 0.9%. And earlier this week, it hit 1.50%. So that's a huge jump. And that's why we've seen the fixed rates go up like they have. But once the job numbers came out yesterday, well, that thing plummeted a little bit to 1.36. So, you know, hard to say. But again, we've seen fixed rates go up about 0.75% from where we were 6 weeks ago. I think that's going to stop now. I think it's going to slow down. I know inflation's still a concern for the bond markets, but at the end of the day, I mean, I think, you know, I still truly, deep down inside, I believe what we're going through is the same thing we went through on the housing market. We're going through with everything else right now. It's supply and demand, and there's so much stuff that's stuck in shipping containers that's not getting to us because there's so limited supply that there's heavy demand. We're seeing the prices of everything go up. And I think as the supply comes in, we'll see those prices come back down and inflation will follow suit, hopefully.
Well, you know what's funny? It's not happening right now. Like, everything's going up. I was at my girlfriend's house this morning and she's getting her windows installed. And the guy said, "Are you thinking of doing your front door?" And she's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Order now." And he's like, she's like, "Why?" He's like, "Order now because they're going up another 40%. So it's like just everything, right? You're right, because I don't know if you guys saw it. I think it might have been on Facebook or somewhere. They showed the image of all the ships and the containers in China trying to get into the border or trying to get into the whatever it's called, the dock or the and there's like tons and tons and tons of them stuck out in the middle of the water. They can't get in because no one's working.
Yeah.
Right. So there's, and that's why, I mean, like Frank said, supply and demand. If there's, you know, no supply and huge demand, what happens to prices? Has to go up, right? Supply and the old economics. I remember learning that in school.
So you said 0.75 already, Frank?
Yeah, fixed rates have gone up pretty well. I mean, you know, it was just a short 6 weeks ago. We had a 5-year insured rate in the 1.79, 1.89, and now you're closer to 2.5%, 2.44, 2.39. So just like that, I mean, it happened so fast. Again, I mean, I think, you know, and listen, 5-year at 2.5% is still a fantastic rate. I mean, yeah, you missed out on some incredible rates, you know, at this time last year where we were in the 1.5% range. But nonetheless, it's still historically very, very low interest rates. You know, if you're looking at investment properties, you're closer to 3%, which is still very good. The problem with the investment properties, I think Paul and I have talked about, is the fact that it's hard to find them to cash flow. I mean, rents have gone up, but not quite at the same level that the house prices have gone up. So, you know, you're going to have to accept the fact that you'll have some negative cash flow from month to month. But if you look at the big picture, with interest rates still where they are, you got about 50% of your payment going towards your principal. So, you know, if your mortgage payment is $1,800, that means a $900 is going towards your principal every single month that your tenant's making you a payment. And if your cash flow is $300 short every month, you're still up $600 every month because your mortgage is being paid down by that amount.
And keep in mind, you know, we talked about the renters and that. With so many rental properties on the market, I think we might see a correction in the rental market as well. I mean, there's so much choice. I mean, before there was nothing and you could ask whatever you want and you got it. Now there's so much choice. And, You know, there's, I've never seen this many rentals on the market, I think, in my entire career. I've never seen this.
Might that drive values of homes down, though? Because, I mean, some investors might say, forget it then. I'm not cash flowing. I'm not going to sell it. Could that maybe start something of, you know, driving some property values down a little bit, Paul?
I don't know if it'll drive them down. I think it might allow more listings to hit the market, because I know if I'm a renter, or if I'm a landlord and I have a property that's vacant, I can't find a renter, and I got to keep putting the price down. Maybe there's a thought in my mind that I might sell it. You know, I might sell that property. So that might help us get more listings on the market. But it's just, you know, before you had, you know, no choice, and now you have tons of choice for rentals. I mean, there's 223 rentals alone in Kanata, Barrhaven, New Orleans. Like, it's just nuts. So we might have a bit of a correction on the rental market as well.
Well, if you're a renter, you're pretty much in the driver's seat then.
Well, you're not. You, yes and no. I like, of course, the whole supply and demand again. I mean, if there's tons of supply, you know, the demand is down. Saying that, the rents have gone really high. And it's hard to now correct too much. I mean, because let's say you have a townhome that's, you know, 2,200 and you drop it to 21. Will it sell pretty, or will it rent pretty quickly? Yes, it will. Yeah, do you have to eat $100? But, you know, saying that, you still want a good tenant in there and you want that place rented out. You know, you're not making money every time you're vacant. So you have to get that rented out.
Yeah, at least tenants have the choice though, right?
They do. They have more choice. Absolutely. Absolutely. This allows, like before, I had a couple properties that were under rented because I had long-term tenants. And I was so thankful when they decided to leave, because then I could flip them and get more, get a higher price tenant in there. But saying that, you know, if you have a good tenant in there, and sometimes you know, you don't want to be raising prices on these tenants, because if they're good and they take care of your place, it's worth its weight in gold. Yeah.
Birthdays, Frank.
I just want to give a big shout out to my new best friend, Jack Nicholas, who I had the pleasure of meeting. Thanks to a fellow mortgage broker, Adam Cote, for arranging that for me. So thanks, Adam. Good guy. No birthdays actually this week. I got a slew of them next week, and I'll wait till next week, and then we'll need the whole segment maybe next week.
I do. I have a birthday. Steve Cooper from my team.
Oh, yeah.
His birthday's today, so he's enjoying the Tampa Bay game.
Paid date off?
He's taking my tickets to the Sens game. He's going to the Sens game today with his lovely wife, Tracy. And Kevin Price, who's been with me today 12 years.
Wow, that's a long time, Kevin. Wow.
Kevin's one of my, I believe, actually, Kevin might be my, besides Jocelyn, Kevin might be my longest tenured guy in my company right now.
So he gets the Mercedes too then?
He got a really nice prize.
All right, gentlemen, have a great week.
Awesome. Have a great week.
Thank you. Please continue to support local businesses and charities, everyone.